test, wireless, test, 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 test. It's good to see you guys. Hey, we got a game night coming up. Tell me when you're ready to hear. On 3, 2, 1. Let the air out. Bring them in from the outside there, would you please? So let me ask you something. When's the last time you did a game night here? Last week. That's an unfair question. You know, I want to remind you that every time we gather to bring other folks in fellowship here. So if we're doing a game night, that's an in and outreach. I want you to get your unsaved people. I want you to bring your enemies. I'll not forget the founder of Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith, years ago when the Chamber of Commerce said, bring your opposition. We're going to get into this here in a minute, but Lent isn't just giving up. It's not just giving up, it's getting up. You know, you got to get up and do something. You got to just get up, wash your face, and go through what you're doing. You know, we're in the book of Luke right now, and we're kind of trudging through it, if you will. I love this book because Dr. Luke was one that came through and very analytically, very specifically gave us the results of what his findings were to a dude named Theophilus. We don't know anything else about him. We just know that he hired Luke to give him an account of what he had heard. Greek dude, right? So Luke, with all of his mastery and skill set, goes and grabs all of the information. He writes the book of Luke, as we know it, but he also writes the book of Acts. If your Bible says it's the Acts of the Apostles, just take a pencil and strike through that and say it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what you're part of Acts. You guys are all Acts 29. The book of Acts ends in 28. You guys are the living embodiment of the balance, right? Last Sunday, we did our last communion during this time frame. We usually do communion every Sunday. And so with that, we started talking about just what Lent is, what the Lenten period means to us. You know, there's a lot of things for it. We'll go over a couple of things. But let me tell you something. With Lent, it means spring. Say it with me. Lent means spring. Go. Lent means spring, and it just means the days are getting longer. They use the word just to go ahead and adapt it to this time. It never bothers me that the men and women of faith in our antiquities today will still grab words of whatever's going on during the time. It's an easy marker of remembrance. You know, for me, when I think of Halloween, I call it Halloween. This church does not call it a fall festival because we don't want to say the word Halloween. It's All Saints' Days. It's a Hallowed Eve. We turned it into dentist retirement program, right? Because what do? They go to the door and knock and get food. You know, I want them to come to the door. I want them to give. I want to give them the best candy or whatever they're used to giving. You know, I'm not there to go, you shouldn't be celebrating Halloween. Yeah, there you go, Christian. Meet them where they are at, not where you think they should be. Meet them just where they're at. That's where they're at. They don't know any better. They don't know any different. That's what the conditions of the environment that they live in has brought them to that point. And quite honestly, when they come in and they got their little angel, you know, the little girls come up and they're all just as happy with their little bag, or the teenagers come up late at night and they're trick or treat. You know, we got to dump a whole bag of candy on those guys, right? Or the leftovers. I don't care. You know, we're going to drop life books in there. We're going to drop anything that we can to talk about Jesus Christ. Listen, we use every single holiday that the world recognizes, and some they don't, to talk about Jesus the Christ. Are we clear? This is our job. We don't get away from it, ever. I don't care if you're turning wrenches on a wicked bike Suzuki. Oh, you're turning on wrenches onto a sexy man van that I have. Doesn't matter. We're going to talk about Jesus in all that we do. Are we clear? Yeah. What did God do with you in worship earlier? Did he move you a little bit? You know what? You guys are starting to open the door of the Lenten period. You're opening the door of this elongated days. You're opening the door of your heart being attuned to the Lord for the things you're giving up to for like life and the things you're giving over to him in the sense of your future. I know Thursday night we came and took this wood cross over here and nailed our whatever givings were to him. and burnt them up into ashes and rubbed them on each other's head or hand or whatever they were comfortable, or not at all, you know. And it only serves as a reminder that this is a journey we're taking. You know, we have sand in this little cup right here. And that sand just reminds us we're on that journey with Jesus, right? We're on that journey with Him in the same sense of the preparation for the continued ministry and the ministry that's going on in the midst of it. You know what He said? Get up when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. He didn't say, well, think about that and maybe not, or say it and not do it. We all have that propensity, right? He said, when you fast, go off into your room, chill with the Lord, scrub your melon, scrub your face, brush your teeth, right? And go hang with the Lord. Does that make sense? That's what we're doing right now. We're just drawing close to Him. I tell you, man, you moved me to tears a minute ago. You know, my voice is pretty off right now. I can barely stand up right now. I'm pretty sick fashion. But you know something? I got something to do. And you know what that something to do is? To talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ in all seasons that are convenient and not. You know, we got a lot of folks that are sick right now. I want to thank you for hugging me and giving it to me. Thanks for sharing your cooties. We sure appreciate it. Hopefully I can share them back with you. As Brent always says, sharing is
caring.
Yeah. So somebody cared a lot about me to give me pneumonia or whatever I've got. It's getting up. You see it here. Take a picture of it if you're going to go, because you're going to have it in this handout that we have for you. You'll have that handout. At the back side of that handout is the day-by-day scriptures that are there for you to go ahead and use this week. And guess what? We start on the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week?
Sunday.
Yesterday. Weekend is over yesterday. Do you understand? I know you're so forged and trained to think that Sunday is the weekend. No, it's the week beginning. And you know what you're doing right now online? You know what you guys are doing right now? You're spending the first day of the week with the Lord in a corporate setting, in the sense of being with each other. And I got to tell you something, man. What a beautiful way to start the week.
Yes.
Saturday's done. I'm like, okay, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming because it's that beautiful time. Look around the room. Turn your head right now. Look at each other. Look at each other's faces. Y'all are going to be together in heaven forever. You understand? Starts right here, right now. Get used to it. They play cowboy music and banjos and say yeehaw for amen. Kidding. Yeehaw. Some of the things that I've asked the Lord to give over to Him, I've been grumpy lately. I don't know what it is. I've just been a grumpy Gus, you know. Lord, I can't be doing that. You know, some of it is, you know, my ankle's jacked up. I've torn up my shoulder pretty good. I'm not feeling good right now. And I'm like, okay. So this other thing came around when I decided to not be grumpy anymore. Sometimes when you can't, I don't know about you guys, you know I like to win. You guys know I like to set goals and get them done. I encourage you the same. I want you to be in the 2% of people that operate on this planet that actually achieves whatever goals God puts on your mind, right? And you only do that by writing them down and looking at them and keeping them before you. All glory to Him. All glory to Him. Not one for you. Okay, do you want the glory for yourself? When you look over the highlights of your life, that's all God. You know what the bloopers are? That's you. That's me. That's all the bloopers. You guys like the bloopers on the movies? That's us, right? That's okay. We have a God that's so amazingly caring. He's so amazingly merciful, and He shows grace in the bloopers. And some of them can be some pretty rough bloopers. Let's be clear. My past is not my present. That's gone from me. I'm a new man in Christ. I'm a new man in Christ. I'm a man of God now. Before, I was a man of Dave. Were you a man of Dave in your name? Yeah? Did you have the book of your name? Yeah, like Dave 1, Dave 2, Dave 17. You know, we had a lot of books written about myself. And I authored every dadgum one of them. And you know something? When I didn't know Him, I could hear Him speaking in each and every one of those times when I look back now through the filter of the Holy Spirit. He's still reaching out. He reached out to Pharaoh saying, hey, don't do it, man. Quit worshiping those animals. Quit worshiping those critters. I don't want you to worship the created. I want you to worship the creator. Go look at Romans 1, 18 and on in that first chapter of Romans. And so the thing is this, during this Lenten period, And it doesn't matter when you start. It does not matter how it's shaped out. Maybe you want to fast a meal a week. Maybe you want to fast a meal or two or three in a week. Maybe you want to fast 3 days a week. Maybe you want to fast the whole time period. It's between you and God. There are no rules on this thing. But I got to tell you something. Don't waste the time. It's not a Catholic tradition. Presbyterians do it. Evangelicals do. All the above. You know, it's so easy to think that one sect within Christianity takes time to spend with the Lord like this. I will tell you the renewal time and the refreshment time that comes from the Lenten period. You know, you want to know what the extension of that is? Have you guys ever worked out and your muscles are sore? You go, oh, maybe you're going to garden here in spring and you go, oh, these muscles that I worked, they're not working quite right. Have you done that? You're going to have spiritual muscles the same way. And I'll tell you what it'll look like. When you're, let's say you're giving up, I'll just use one I had earlier. Maybe you're done with filth and flarn from your vocabulary. You're not going to cuss. Even in your heart, out. Right? You understand that there's going to be opportunities that will present themselves normally in life, and you're going to spit one out. Well, I got to tell you something. He'll forgive you in it. Because he knows he's scrubbing you clean. And whatever you wrote down and nailed to the cross, whatever you've written to your heart, whatever you're thinking about now or jotting on your notes now, that's between you and the Lord. And he's looking to grow you in his image. Does that make sense? Man, I'll tell you what, I want to be more like him. I don't want to take a nail on the arm. But we do have sacrifice, right? He's the only Christ. And I love that part about it. You know, if this is nothing more than self-help and self-change, what we do, for self's sake, then we haven't moved the needle on Christ's likeness. We haven't moved the needle unless we want to have Christ as our likeness. You know? I want to ask you a few questions. They're on your sheet too. You can respond or just jot either one. What change in your life do you desire to make to become more Christ-like? Take a minute and think about it. If you're still wanting to do it later on in the week, that's fine. But just think about it. What area of your life do you want to have it surrendered to him to be more Christ-like? How, in the second question, how has a time of change in your life brought you closer to God or made you better in the ways of him? Jot that down. Why are we jotting that part down? So you'll see those rocks of remembrances. We call them Ebenezers. It's a rock of showing where God showed up in your life. Why do we have Ebenezers in our life? He allows these things to remind us of where he was and where he's going to be in your moment and where he's going to be doing in your future as well. Number three, what are your what area of your life, whether your habits, relationships, or your thoughts, do you sense God calling you to change for his glory? Look, the sun shines whether the clouds are out or not, right? Right now, we could have full cloud cover and we can still see. Isn't that amazing? We're not the sun. We don't do the eight minutes and 0.33 seconds to get here from that. The heat that you feel in the sun came from the sun about a little over 8 minutes ago. We're not the sun. We didn't start it. We feel the heat. We didn't start the heat. We just walk in the shining of the sun, the warmth of the sun. Well, guess what? That's the same way it is with the glory. We don't create the glory. We walk in his glory. We get to do the stuff that he have for us. And whatever walk of life that you have, whatever gifting you have, and some of the things you're not gifted at. You know, I know in Scripture it talks about having specific gifts. Well, I got to tell you something. One of my specific gifts is watching the Lord, where do you need me? And expecting him to gift me in that area of all the gifts. Building out this building and building two. I had no idea about stuff like this that I needed to do. I had a pretty good hankering for getting here, but I didn't know the details of things. And guess what? You know what he did? He gave the details. He built the whole world. He assembled you in your mom's womb. You think he can handle a little paper and tin building? You know, he can handle a lot of things in your life. Don't be afraid of it. What Lent commitment from Thursday night or now has been hardest or most meaningful so far? It could be some things that are hitting you right now that you probably want to turn up the radio in your mind so you don't have to listen to that stuff. But let me tell you something. Turn that radio down. Listen to it, even if it's hard stuff to hear, and go ahead and bring it before the Lord. He just wants to work through it. The only reason you don't want to give it over is you're maybe a little bit afraid of what happens on the other side, or not knowing what to do with the habit that's been created for however many years old you are. It's a good time and a good shot to be able to make that change. A couple of more. How might sticking with your Lent practice help you reflect Christ more in your daily life, in your everyday life? And then lastly, how can this Lent, and it means springtime or length of days, right? How can this Lent help you move from stumbling to Christ-likeness? You know, there's sometimes we crawl on our knees, we don't even realize that we've stumbled until we see the righteousness of the Lord, or until we see His mercy picking us up, or His grace to favor us in areas we may not have been favorable. I love seeing Him. I love seeing Him. Are you guys giving up screens? Are you guys developing more prayer time in your life? You know, that's okay, because you develop more prayer time in your life. Don't be surprised if the enemy is trying to distract you right or left. Or maybe it's like, I said I was going to pray at 7:15 in the morning, and it's 7:35, and you're like, I don't want to do that. Okay, well, now we know where an igniting point is, right? Some of you are giving up screens. Some of you are serving your family and the enemies within your family. Let's be clear. Sometimes in our family unit, we'll have people that we don't necessarily like, even though they're blood kin by birth. And maybe God has put it on your heart to start serving them, to start praying for them. And by the way, when you start praying for somebody, you know you never stop, right? Do you know the rule? Fun rule. But you know the rule for that is, whoever stops breathing first stops praying, right? So you could have, I'm praying for people, I can't remember their names, I barely can see their images, but they'll have a shape of that person in my head that I've been praying for now probably maybe 35, 40 years. You know, they'll just come up when God brings them up. Are you praying for those folks in your family? Maybe some of you have this intense enemy at work, play, school, neighbor, wherever it may be, that it's now time to forgive them. It's time to put that saber-rattling moment down and start forgiving them again. Dude, you need to look from the cross. You need to look from the stoning of Stephen. Jesus said simply this, "Dad, if they knew you, they wouldn't do this to you. Forgive them." Stephen says, hey, don't put this on their QuickBooks account against them. You understand? They're sitting there pinched and parched for your salvation, or the prayer covering in Stephen's case for others. And yet the Holy Spirit is so evident that the first thing that comes out of their mouth is mercy, in the sense of forgiveness and trusting God with the outcome of it. Because I got to tell you something, Stephen didn't see the outcome necessarily. Probably looked out over wherever, however he's being stoned, and seeing Saul, now Paul, holding the cloaks of others that were throwing the stones. Pretty wild, huh? You got to remember the lady that was found in adultery. You remember that story? You need to understand that when there is two parts to a story, both needs to show up. And the guy wasn't there. Just the gal was there. See, we know it's a ruse. You look at all the dudes there with the stones in their hand. Jesus is scrolling around on the gravel with his finger, right? And they said, Jesus, we found this gal in adultery. Scribble, scrabble, whatever. He said, you without sin cast the first stone. And you know who the first ones were? Was the oldest ones. We were talking about this, I believe, yesterday. The oldest, when you get a little older, you're a lot more aware of your sins, or the detriment of carrying the burden of sinning, you know? Detriment. And you're going to drop that stone first. The youngest guys, they're still riled up and ready to take something on. Let's kill that. And you know you're going to call her the B word. Guess what? The guy was not there. You know what Jesus said to her after the guys left? She said, where are your accusers? They're not here. Then I accuse you not. Do you understand that there's people that have acted out poorly in your life that you need to take the stance of, I'm not going to accuse you in this. I'm going to love you through it. You know what the next thing he said to the woman afterwards? Go and sin no more. That's still the message. Some people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that that's the case. If you're bringing up to them the idea they're sinning and you have that arms crossed looking down your nose and kind of going, I'm better than you, you may not say it, but you may have a sense of that. You need to go back to the Pharisee that stood there about all of his prayers and all the above, and here's the tax collector that couldn't even raise his head that his sin was so mighty before him. We got to go back to what that part looks like to be able to have the empathy level to go with somebody else. That's what these Lenten times are about, is when you're forgiving your enemy. Why are we focusing on that? These are times of renewal. And I have to tell you something. The times are rough right now, and they've been rough for a long time, before your birth and after your death. So we strive for completeness in the Lord because he's made us complete. He's made us complete. It isn't just giving up. Is drawing closer to the Lord so we can reflect him. So we get the opportunity to reflect him to our spouse, to our kids, to somebody else's kids, to our friends or our neighbors, our country. And one of my number one things is reflect Christ to your enemies. There are many. And by the way, you can inflame that with your posts or reading the ones that support whatever your viewpoint is on life. And you can read them, and all of a sudden the metrics started sending you more and more, and you'll get yourself in a tizzy right away. You start liking certain people to support your viewpoint. I got to tell you something. When you narrow like that, and that narrowing isn't unto the Lord, you've just caused yourself a broadness because you look no different than the world. Are we clear? And when I say you understand it's all of us. It's not me in particular or you in particular. I want to remind you, as we talked about last week in Ezekiel 16:49, Sodom's sin was not against morality. It wasn't just that. We think it is because we think about, you know, the weirdos wanting to come and shake the sheets with the angels, right? And that's a big part of it, but that's not all of it. And I like how it's reminded in the words of the Lord, is that they were proud. They were overfed. They were unconcerned, ignoring the poor. If you're overfed and your neighbor has nothing on the shelf, you need to fast and give him your meal for the next month, for the next week, or the next meal. It's a good opportunity for that. Lent flips that script from selfishness to selflessness. You got it? It flips the script from selfishness to selflessness. I'm thankful for that. It removes the stumbling blocks. It opens up the love kindness. It opens up that communication portal to the Lord with you and him again. I like that piece as well, because I have to tell you something. The idea of not being close to the Lord is not a grand thing for me, because I know what I look like apart from him. I can do nothing. I can do nothing. Luke 17:1-4. Father God, your hand, please do that. Don't cause stumbling and forgive repeatedly. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, we're just going to read this first part of it. There will always be temptations to sin. If it says, and Jesus spoke it, there's always going to be temptations for sin. What do you think that is? It's always going to be there. It's going to be before you. Can you imagine what it would be like if you visited Rome in the day with your mindset now and you went into Rome today and they were very gracious to you? Would you like to come and eat? Can we get you a room? Would you like a man? Would you like a woman? Would you like a girl? Would you like a boy? Here in Colorado, one of the things I said is when they decline into no-fault marriage, which Colorado led the way on that, that marrying your donkey or marrying a little girl, I'm a guy, or marrying a little boy will be the norm. You do understand that they're trying to legalize prostitution in this state, right? You do understand that we decided as a whole, because this is our state, we have decided as a whole that we want to be able to kill children right up to the day of bearing. And that's in our Constitution now. The majority of the people of Colorado said, yes, we want the sacrament of death as our Constitution. You know, that sacrament of death is Satan's words. And guess what? 2 million Christians did not vote. Shame on us. I want to point my fingers at all the people that are in the world who voted for this stuff. They're just doing what they know. What breaks my heart is the people of Christ did not get involved in these ways. Now, Jesus is my Savior, that's enough. No, you need to give that path for the others so they can operate freely. You know, it breaks my heart because I was part of the abortion side of it. I wanted my daughter to die. That's what I was trained in Denver Public Schools when I went to Texas and sired a child, and we didn't have the reveal party, you know. The reveal party is what you knew when you got them. And my ex-wife looked at me like I was from a foreign country because she was right. Even though she didn't have a faith in Christ, doing the wrong thing was the wrong thing. I'm part of that problem, not anymore. You see, we can all change because of the mercy of God and the grace of the Lord. So what do we do with these things? Well, look, it's not going to be long now that they're going to legalize cocaine. It's just going to happen. Within a month of legalizing marijuana, that's going to come. It's the ills of man. We can legislate till the cows come home. Some say you can't legislate morality. No, but you can put guardrails on it. And you know something? What are we going to do? We grab one person at a time and educate them on the things of the Lord, like led by the Holy Spirit. All the other ills of society will take care of themselves. I'm not going to change what's on the Constitution. You know what I can do? Is change the comportment or the constitution of that individual. How they approach life. I'm not trying to build some party brand. Are you kidding me? We're in the largest army ever known to mankind. And that's the men and women of Christ. The children of Christ. These little kids coming in and jumping up and down for Dylan's birthday. They're so excited about a guy they don't know, and they're jumping up and down because it's his birthday. Oh, yeah. You know, whatever they're doing. And they're excited about it. Poor Dylan, he's like, you know, okay, just get this song over with. So I go, sorry, brother. That kind of excitement they have, may I encourage you to have that excitement for the Lord, for people you don't know, you know? And the ones you do, even more so. There's always going to be temptations to sin, to be complacent, to not be engaged. All of it. It's always going to be before you, right? But when sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting, if you're one of the people, here, let me give it like this. We spend a couple hours a week to come in here and worship, right? To sing in praise, to worship in the Word, to fellowship with each other. We do it again on Thursday night, so we'll have a couple, 2 or 3 hours there. Can't get a lot of the people out till about 10 o'clock at night, though we start at, what time we start? 7, you know? I love that. I don't want them out. I don't want them out. I want you guys to wear the hinges off this building, you know? We have this opportunity to gather together to grow in His likeness and continue to move forward. But let me show you where the temptation is. Maybe you're out in the hallway out there. And it's time to come in and worship Him. And you're out there horsing around. It's okay to fellowship. Pick your times. Or maybe you're out there during the Word. We see it with the kids a lot. You know, when we did the Valentine's game night and dance here for the whole family, we had everybody come in and gather a huge circle. You know where some of the kids were? Hiding away because they didn't want to have to come and be with the adults in the circle. Thank God for the people who went over and says, get your tiny hiney in there now. You know, they're catching them when they're in their sin. And one kid brought a couple of others into that hiding. Do you see how that, the shame of the temptation can be? Maybe you have committed to be with a brother or a sister in some type of Bible or fellowship time, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, you know what, I want to go have cheesecake over at XYZ. You see, you want to have cheesecake with me? And now the two are going over there together, pulling them. It's not a fellowship time. It's a cheesecake time instead of being at the house of the bread, the house of bread. What sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? It would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around their neck. By the way, even the pagans would have thought that that was a horrific thing to do, is millstone somebody and cause these into the water, then cause one of these little ones to fail into sin. Now, we look at the little ones as in these little peanuts that came up here, but also the little ones are those that are still weak in their faith. He is very clear about that. Are you showing, are you modeling a care for those who don't know as well? You know, I told you before, when my grandsons wouldn't pray over their meal, I put their plate on the floor. I said, get down there and eat that without your fork or napkin. If you're not going to pray and tell God thank you for that food, you might as well get the scraps like the dog gets. You can't even be thankful in a prayer to tell God thanks for your Cheetos. Please, Lord, make these work in my body. They're not going to. By the way, don't eat Cheetos. Watch yourselves. This is still Christ talking to us. Watch yourselves. If another believer sins against you, correct that person strongly. It says rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. It's Christ showing us. Luke's picking it up. If you got something against somebody, deal with it. Correct them on that. Watch for the repentance. You'll see. Sometimes they won't. Well, maybe that repentance is a delayed thing. He didn't put a time frame on it. He didn't say a yom or two yoms, which is garnered by the sun up and down. Day, we get that word out of Genesis. If another believer sins against you, hey, maybe they know they sinned against you and it's hard. You got burned by it and they did the burning. Dude, you're to forgive that person. Say, hey, this is how it went down. You burned me. You hurt me. And now the person that got burned, now your responsibility is hold the line as that repentance comes about and the restoration comes. In a church that I was at before there was never restoration. It was only punitive. That means to get in trouble. It was only punitive. There was never a restoring of them unto the Lord. And the congeniality of that restoration when you're interacting with somebody that burned you, it's not easy to do. And oh, by the way, just because you got burned, remember, you may be the burner the next time, not the burnee. Is that clear? Be mindful. Be clear. Rebuke the person. Then if there's repentance, forgive them. Even if that person wrongs you, how many times does it say? Seven times. You remember that whole thing with Peter? He said, what am I to give? Forgive seven times? You need to understand it was three and out. I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm done. I forgive you, but I'm done with you. Peter says, what am I supposed to do? Seven, which is double plus one. And Jesus said, no. Forever. 490? Well, 491. No. Start again. Start over. It's this constant repentance, forgiveness. Why? Because you constantly are forgiven when you run into the challenges that you choose to absorb to sin, even though you're made new. Look, when you gave your lives to Christ, you were made perfect in Him. Remember, the word perfect means complete. Doesn't mean you are without error. And He said there's sin around you all the time. Be mindful. Sometimes you're going to sin. Please don't. Work hard not to. Renewal of the mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? Don't get caught up in the sin, and when you do, step back from it quick. Repent it now. Don't even get into it. Don't even delve into it. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Do you have that? Do I have that up there for you? Thank you. Watch yourselves. The temptations. Thank you. The temptations in your life are not different from others' experiences. Everybody in here is going to get tempted. Is temptation a sin? No, it's not. Sinning is a sin. And God is faithful. If there's anything that you want to summarize the whole Bible, is right there. God is faithful. He, and look at the word will. The word will or shall or promises. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand or more than you can bear if you're New King Jamers. When you are tempted, there's that word will again. He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Isn't that a relief? You understand? Just because you're tempted doesn't mean you have to sin. It just doesn't mean you have to do that. you can go right on into the forgiveness element, right? Pretty cool, huh? You like that part?
Yes.
So, you know, you'll be tempted to go down an old path. Maybe you're a gossip or you have this tendency to gossip. And that hasn't, you just, even though you were made complete in Christ, you still kind of hung on to that gossiping about people. Well, I got to tell you something, man. Get back to him on that. He'll clean that up. And the whole other thing that gossip brings will be cleared out with it. It'll be shoveled like snow. You guys know what it looks like. You got a 2 or 4 inch pile of snow. You run your snow shovel over it. You're back to concrete or gravel or whatever you have underneath it. Do I have Romans 12:19? Thank you. Dear friends, I love how Paul writes. Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. I know we all love the Avengers, right? Thor. Thor's my guy. But we're not to avenge anything. That's God's job. Well, you don't understand what that guy did to me when I was a kid. He raped me. I don't take a vengeance when that happened to me. The righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Is that wild? Let me tell you something. If somebody did such an egregious thing that they deserve the death penalty, do you understand the law will adjudicate appropriately, but them getting that death penalty will not satisfy your heart as much as God turning over these unforgiveness things that are in there to allow him to take care of the outcome. We've got to go back to the cross. Forgive them, Dad. If they knew you, they wouldn't do this to you. There's no way they would do it. If they had your heart, Lord, there's no way. And I've had to be forgiven, and even as early as today, I've had to forgive a multitude of people in my life. And by the way, I will tell you probably about 40 to 50% of it, I did no wrong. But you know something? He didn't put the wrong or right on there. He said forgive. Did you catch that? You don't want to start building up these conditions and 2x4s in your structure of what forgiveness looks like. It's right here. He says, give it to him. I will repay them back, says the Lord. When you see the will promise of God, the people that you're up against, if you go, well, pay them back, Lord, take them out, burn their kids, you know, whatever. That sounds rough, but hey, Old Testament. They did that stuff for the god Molech, right? That heart is desperately off, right? But when we have the heart of the Lord, man, we want those people to be more free because they're bound up in the stuff that causes them to act the way they are, because that was me, right? They're the not yets. When they become a yetter, some of that stuff will trail over, and the closer they get to the Lord, you know, the less they'll have that dynamic. Tell me there's sins in your past that you wished you would have never done. Tell me there's a sin right now you wish you weren't doing, you know? And all of it's redeemable, 100%. You murder somebody in your heart or with a knife, it's forgivable. That doesn't mean you go out and murder somebody, right? People think, oh, I just can't be forgiven for what I've done. I've done things that are so shameful. And that's how the enemy would have you. Of course it's shameful. It absolutely is. We've kind of lost sight of shame. I'm not sitting here putting this burden on you in that sense. There are things that we just do not do. And when we get before the Lord, he frees us of that stuff. And I want my enemies to free. I remember a buddy of mine, he died years ago, and he was kind of brutal. And I told Mary Lou, I said, he's one of my friends. And she got around him. She goes, how can that guy be your friend? He's so mean. Yeah, but he doesn't know anything yet. You know, you look at people beyond their ills, you'll see the glory of the Lord in them. Actually, you will. You'll see how he created them through his vision. And you know something? Your life is more round because now you have the eyes of the Lord on somebody that's just a fallen creation. They're just not operating in the things of the Lord yet or to the fullness therein. Luke 17:5-6, the apostles said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Show us how to increase your faith. Is that something you've ever asked of the Lord yet? If not, write it down on your paper. Lord, show us how to increase our faith in you. You'll have these opportunities to do so. I don't have a mustard seed with me, but you know the bigger sprinkles you put on a dressed cake? They're the little round balls, you know, like a BB.
That's like poppy seeds.
like a poppy seed, only bigger, you know. And you put those little round silver balls. We saw them at Christmas time on these cookies here, right? That's about the size of a mustard seed. That kind of faith is all you really need. Because he does all the faith and faithing things. My faith, even if it's just minuscule, is in the Lord. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. I don't really need much more because he's so consistent. We didn't answer my prayer when I wanted that Cadillac or that extra money that came by. Well, you probably didn't need either, or at least not at that time. It doesn't matter. It's just, Lord, you have shown faithful in the people that I saw 52 years fought each other. Sisters. There's only two sisters, and they fought up until about a year of one of them dying. They fought for 52 years over the ruin of a cashmere sweater. Family separated out over a cashmere. Dude, if you need a cashmere sweater, I'll buy you five of them. Shut the heck up. Ooh, careful. Shut the heck up and get back on. And that was my mom and her sister. And when God brought them back together, it was as if it never happened. And they said those 52 years, watch this. Somebody get out a calculator, quick. 52 times 365.25. 52 times 365.25. Give me that answer. Over a cashmere sweater. And they said all of those days seemed just like yesterday. 18,993. This is rounded up to 19 for my puny mind math. 19,000 days. Hang on, my arm's getting sore. 19,000 days. All of those, because of the mercy and the grace of God, removed to where it was like, sweater, I'm sorry, next day. Do you understand how powerful that is? I'm a kid at 6 years old wondering why I can't play with some of my cousins. I don't know. I know my dad's, my paternal. I don't know my maternal well. I've gone out and done my best with them. But that he took all of this anger and this ugly, they're only sisters. You have no other siblings. And you said, no, close the gap, and said, from today forward. And both of them said, thank you. I said, you're welcome. Don't we have a great God? Thank you. Oh, is all of the Lord. Shut that up. It's false humility. Don't do it. We already know it's all the Lord. Thank you for that. You're welcome for that. Don't we have a wonderful Father? And that's the directing back to him. I'm sorry if I'm a little focused on this today. Believe it or not, my heart is extremely joyful right now because I see the liberation in the merciful acts of the Lord. When he unhooks us from this cart, in this cart that we have hooked to the wagon of the enemy. And he's probably even getting rid of the whole cart and say, look, why don't you just leave all that behind? Jump on this cart over here. Let's go haul hay together if you're agrarian. Show us how to increase our faith. Do you guys struggle with your faith? Yes, no? From time to time, I do. I don't mind. Pardon?
I said we all do.
Thank you. I got to tell you something. When some people say, I'm struggling with my faith, do you understand? I don't look at them poorly. There's no way I would. They're thinking. They're working through the struggle with their faith right then and there. They're thinking. They're rational. They're real. Some of it, they're hurt and they're woeful. And guess what? Sometimes he's going to put you right in that path, right next with them to what? Tell them every scripture and show them your theology? No. To listen. Just listen. And the first thing you're listening to is the Holy Spirit as they're speaking. And they may even sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, wah, wah. It's okay. The Lord will give you, even if you didn't hear half of what they said, the Lord will give you whatever he needed to tend to them. And some of it may never be spoken. Some of it may be prayerfully carried. Pretty cool, huh? All you got to have is that much faith. That much. It doesn't take much. I want bigger. I like bigger. If I have faith like this, man, I want bigger faith. Do you know why? I want to see the things of the Lord. Because I got to tell you something. As your faith muscle is developed and moved, you start, do you think about breathing? Anybody think about breathing right now? How about blinking your eyes? How many times you blink your eyes since we've been here? Don't know? Okay. How about your heart? How many times has it beaten since we've sat here? You don't think about it, right? That's how I want to be with the Holy Spirit. That's how I want to be with my faith. I don't think about it. It's just a part of who I am. Everywhere we go, in Colossians, Paul writes, everywhere we go, we talk about Christ to all who will listen. Whoever will listen will go. Yeah? You like that? Yes, no? No? Yes? You could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and thrown in the sea, and it would obey you. Metaphor, actual, I don't know. I really don't care. That kind of faith, you don't think about, well, can it really move a mountain? Dude, you don't worry about that. If he wants it moved, he'll move it, and rocks will cry out to the glory of God anyway. But if you have that kind, you can do monumental tasks. Guaranteed, no two ways about it. Increase our faith. I love that part. Your commitments may feel small during this Lent period, but that mustard seed faith is enough. Trust God to move the mountains in your character and in your witness. The unworthy servant in Luke 17, 7 through 10, we'll close at 10. When a servant comes from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come on in and eat with me? Is he not more likely to say, prepare my meal and get on your apron and serve me while I eat? Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? In the same way, in a similitude, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. I don't need compliments of the Lord. You guys have heard me say 1,000 times, I'm not looking for the well done and good and faithful servant. I'm not going to wear a t-shirt. I'm not going to express it. It doesn't matter to me. And it's not that I don't want to hear the favor of the Lord. I do not want to get lazy until that day comes. And if he chooses to say, well done, good and faithful servant, that's his call. Right now, I'm just going to practice out daily my faith. Daily, by the minute, by the moment. We get out of here in a few minutes. I don't know what my day is going to plan. I know I've got some kind of deal we planned 3 months ago to go out with some of my kinfolk. And we're going to go down to the roadhouse at 4:00. I have no idea who I'm going to talk to between now and then. I'm hoping it's about 15 or 20 people about the Lord. And just listen, just showing them the simplicity of your faith. I love how Pastor Brent reminds us how, you know, you don't always need scripture. You don't always need all this other stuff. Just operate in the things of the Lord. I'm not saying you discount that, but it's one mechanism that we woefully overlook. You know, remember Tomb Boy. Remember Tomb Boy, the dude that had a legion in him? A legion is about 1,000 demons. Most I've ever cast out was 32, not 1,000. Same God, same word, same Jesus, same out, right? They bolted out. Where can we go? They say, get in the pigs. Pigs jump in water, right? What happened to Tomb Boy? Dude, he wants to go with the Lord and go chill with him for the balance of his days. Guess what? The Lord says, nah. Stay here. Tell your story. I don't know if disciples came back to him. I don't know if he planted a church. That's the rest of the story in heaven. Doesn't really matter. Jesus shows us the entirety of the ministry that he has. And the word ministry means to serve. It's as simple as that. When the servant comes in from plowing or caring for the sheep, does his master say, come and eat with me? Is he more likely to say, get my meal ready, put your apron on, get me something to nibble on? Then you can eat later. And the master, does he thank him for the servant for what he's doing? Nah, bro. Just do your job. You know, we'll give you pats on the back along the way, but if you're living for myself or another pastor or leader to pat you on the back every single turn, your God is too horizontal and it's not vertical enough. Look, serve the Lord. Let him give you the crowns that you're going to throw at his feet. You know, it's just such a better master, if you will, such a better father in that way. Because our God is just such a mighty guy. I'm caught up on eyelids. I just think it's amazing that my eyelids blink multitude up and down, right? Multitude of times during the day. The little muscles that all put together, he thought all that stuff up. I get to thinking in this kind of creative, analytical sense. And Mary's like, I don't even go there. I just think, well, we're going to do pickleball or, you know, whatever she does, right? And I'm all going, yeah, pickleball. You know, you think about that concrete that we make, and then God designed rocks, and then he tumbled them through the flood, and then, wow, and then he gave us this creative ability to come together, and the cement, the gray stuff, comes from the earth to begin with, and he fortified, and then my mind will go off and go, I wonder how many parts it took to put together a pickleball paddle. And then I go, wow, I wonder how hard it was to have a thought inspired through electronics to move muscles just to do that. And he created all that up, you know, let alone for me, a drummer, let alone all the drumming mechanisms. And where do you want something placed? Let me ask you a question. In your life, do you ask the Lord, where do you want my gifts to be placed today? I think long and hard about, in this case, autumn singing. I think long and hard about where I'm going to place the sounds of the drum to either detract or add to whatever she's doing, but I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. And same with Brent. There's times that I'll stop playing, and they'll stop playing, and we didn't even talk about it. You know, the Holy Spirit is masterful. Masterful. I'm going to leave you with this. And you may want to jot this one. It's called the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I bring this to you periodically. Prior, I need you to understand with this context going in, your serving of the Lord, you're not looking for the pats. The reward is that servitude unto him. When you love your children beyond their animations, when you love your bride, when she's off her rocker, when you love your husband, when he's out in Fruit Loop Hill, you know, and everything comes together because you're serving him first, that's your reward. Let that be settled. You know, because now you're not looking for the next glory point to get the pat. You're not looking for the next hill to climb to go, oh, look at me, what I did. You know, this, I don't play for anything but the Lord. I will not play one note but for him. You understand? I owe him everything of my life. I'm not giving my life, oh, you're a pastor, you should be. Dude, I was an idiot kid growing up, and this is a calling at 50, not 20. But I don't want one breath to be absence of meaningful. Oh, and I'll tell goofy jokes and we'll do that stuff. That's part of living and laughing and having fun. But that underlying riff, which is very solid, is that servitude unto the Lord. Watch this. This was written by a pastor who is going to be killed the next day. Now, when you see him write this, you're going to think he's got an eternity of life, corporeal sense, right? But this is a little different. He says this, I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. Can I remind you that the Spirit that rolled the stone away for us to see, not for Jesus to get out, is the power you have available to you. Fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. In other words, your molding has already been made into a cast form. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to let up. I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to back away. I'm not going to be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. And my future is rock solid secure. I'm finished and done with low living. Sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence. I no longer need prosperity. I no longer need position. I no longer need promotion. I no longer need plaudits. That's the applause of mankind. I no longer need plaudits, nor do I need popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first. I don't have to be tops. I don't have to be recognized. I don't have to be praised. I don't have to be considered or regarded, and I don't have to be rewarded. I now live by presence. I learn by faith. I love by patience. I lift by prayer and labor by power. My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrowed. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide, God, is reliable, and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought. I cannot be compromised. I cannot be detoured. I cannot be lured away. I cannot turn back. I cannot be deluded, and I cannot be delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of my enemy, pondered at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't back up. I won't let up or shut up until I've preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, stayed up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go until he returns, give until I drop, preach until all known, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be quite clear. Doesn't matter what field of operation you play. It matters not. You know what matters? Is that your lens is always affixed on the things of the Lord. If I have a Bible and this would be it, I start here because those are the words of God, and then I look at the lens through the lens of the kind that we have in the Lord. Does that make sense? My hopes are you during this Lent period is that you won't just be giving up, that you'll be getting up based on this fellowship of the unashamed. I would encourage you to print it out or get a print, big print, or buy it if it's already printed, and get it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day. It's your discipleship in action is what's key here. That mustard seed faith moves mountains, right? Your homework, go back and review your Lent commitment. Go back and review it. Practice forgiveness this week. I want you to take about 2 seconds here. Grab your pen. Jot down who you need to forgive. If it's your seatmate, put your hand sideways over it and fold it over. Right? And I want you to serve humbly again. When I say I want, that's kind of a fatherly thing, if you will. I want to see you get the best that you are in the Lord. And let him receive the glory. Let him receive all of it. Now on the back of this thing, you're going to also have Sunday through Saturday has all the scriptures we read today. I want to encourage you every day is to go in there and just jot down what the Lord is revealing. How do I know how to do that? That's the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. What did God show you today as we close out?